It's so good to know you and to get to know you better through spending time with you and with each other today. We ask for your Holy Spirit to fill each heart and each mind with new revelations of your desire for us, which we know is good. Thank you, God. Again, we ask for this wonderful Sabbath that we can fellowship with each other and mostly with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Christ-like behavior, and I think I might be stepping on toes because, you know, this is one of our 28 fundamental teachings, but it usually is one that gets a little sensitive. I would encourage you to go home and look at this and read about it in one of our publications, either in the baptismal guide. It has the thing there and the verses. Because I'm not going to touch on all of the things. I'm just going to basically focus on one today. So maybe I won't step on any toes. Let's find out what happens. Let's begin with a word of prayer, though, okay? Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to come to you this morning and know that that you're the one that's guiding our lives. And you see the past, you see the present, and you see the future. What a blessing to have you who knows everything to direct us. So bless this message now. May it touch our hearts and our minds. May we make decisions for you today. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, Christian behavior is a sensitive one. It's number 22 in the fundamental beliefs, in case you're wondering. And the Bible gives many examples of Christ-like behavior, people's stories in the Bible. I like the story of Enoch. How about you? You like that one? Enoch boldly proclaimed the kingdom of heaven and walked with God each day. That's a good story, isn't it? But he lived a what? Christ-like life. That's it. He had a behavior that reflected who he was and who he knew. Amen? Isaac. I like Isaac. I have a nephew whose name is Isaac. He obediently carried the wood for his own death. He offered himself to be the sacrifice. Right? And there's a lot of other stories. Many prophets preached messages of repentance, even to their own persecution and to their own demise. I think of Esther. I like that story too. Courageously facing the king to save her people and claiming, if I perish, I perish. The Bible also has many lists of Christ-like behavior. Do this, do that, right? Don't do this, don't do that, because it's un-Christ-like, right? Like, example, show mercy. You know, in Exodus 34, God is described as merciful. That's a Christ-like behavior, isn't it? Forgive. Do not be slothful in business. That's in 1 Corinthians, or in Romans, actually. Distributing to the necessities of the saints. Patience and tribulation. I'm just listing randomly a few things here and there. Be instant in prayer. Feeding thine enemy. And overcoming evil with good. Just to name a few. So in today's message, we will narrow our focus from all the things that Christ-like behavior is in general to our treatment. One specific thing. How we treat each other inside the church. Okay, that's what I'd like to hit today. Sound good? Amen. Okay, I want to hear that you get enthusiastic. Sound good?
Yes.
All right, praise God. Generally speaking, Christ-like behavior is behaving like Christ, right? In any situation that we're put in, and it encompasses unlimited circumstances and decisions. I think of some more examples. I like the story of Joseph. How about you? The young man, Joseph, who had dreams, didn't he? He had dreams, all right. And he told his brothers, which might have not been the best idea, right? And so we know the story. He was sold into slavery. And then there's the story of Moses. Moses. Yes, his parents were faced with a very hard decision. They were commanded as slaves to obey. Cast your son into the Nile. And the parents, you know, wrestled with this because they knew that that wasn't God's will. And then there's the story of Daniel. How many of you like that story? Daniel, young man, his parents were killed. He was also enslaved, right? He was taken as a captor to Babylon, to a foreign country. What a story. Daniel. I love their commitments to the Lord in spite of their situations. The Bible teaches us many principles for handling the challenges that we face, the various circumstances that we get into. Turn with me to Romans 12 for a moment. Romans 12. Actually, we're going to be spending most of our time today in Romans 12. We might flip a little here and there. But Romans 12, and beginning in verse 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2 deals with surrender. Let's look at it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Here we go. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So did you kind of see some behaviors in there? Our body, in Corinthians, it says they don't belong to us. They belong to God. So he says, present your bodies, right? Our bodies. The principle, I think, here in Romans 12, 1 and 2 is surrender. It suggests that having our body and mind surrendered to the Lord results in a behavior of doing God's will. Look, notice again, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Amen. How? By the renewing of your mind. Renewing it. How we renew it? We mean surrendering it to the Lord Jesus. Amen. And then what does it say? That you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect the will of God. Amen. So that's awesome. You want to do God's will? Surrender to him. And then he will lead you into doing his will. Now, narrowing our focus to our treatment of others in the church, right? These are, again, some general things. So let's look at our treatment of others. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, Romans 12, 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly accordingly as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Okay, so when verses 1 and 2 are accomplished in our lives, namely that we're surrendered, we will have an attitude of what? What's the attitude that's coming through here? Of thinking of others better than ourselves. That's an attitude of humility or meekness, right? Oh, that reminds me of somebody we mentioned, Moses, right? The meekest man on the earth. That's what God said about him. Now, here's where I think it gets interesting. Attitude is defined as a settled way of thinking reflected in a person's, guess what? Their behavior, their actions, yes. Now look at verse 4. For as many as we have many members in one body, is it talking about the church? So yes, this is right on, isn't it? Right, what we're talking about. For as many have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, keep going, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So, continuing to narrow our focus, we see in the church how we are to treat what? Each other. And also, something about the attitude. We recognize that we're doing different jobs, but all the jobs are important. They're all spirit-given and spirit-led. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word. Can you imagine how people might feel attending a church where they feel valued and appreciated for their unique role? Isn't that beautiful? That's a blessing. How to treat one another. We value one another. We appreciate their contribution to the whole, their uniqueness, right? Maybe you're thinking, well, maybe we shouldn't be focusing so much on people's feelings, how they feel. But what does the scripture say? Notice the next few verses, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10, Romans 12, verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. So, this is exciting. Are you excited? It's exhilarating. I'm excited for all we need to, for first of all, we need to recognize that God is holistic. He made us emotionally, physically, spiritually. So he gave us these three aspects of being so that we might know him and experience him in different ways and at deeper levels. What do you say? Amen. That's good, isn't it? Really good. And in verse 9, we just read, it said something about dissimulate. What is that? Let love be without dissimulation. What does that mean? The dictionary says, dissimulation means concealment. I mean, that sounds like the devil, right? Concealing stuff, right? Concealment of one's thoughts and feelings or character. So God says that in the church, we're to share our what? Our love without dissimulating, meaning without not showing our, in other words, we're supposed to share our feelings. We're supposed to actually get into the deeper aspects of relationship by sharing with one another how we feel and the other person, what is their job? To listen, to hear and understand our brother or sister, what they're going through, not just on the superficial, but on a deeper level. Now, you see why I'm excited? I'm a sanguine, sorry. I like to connect with people and not just on a superficial level, right? I like to connect as and go deeper and go deeper and even more deeper, right? And that's beautiful because it helps people to feel like they belong, to feel like they're a family. Now, in a family, do sometimes we hurt one another? I know I've said a few things that didn't make Crystal smile, but made her frown or even cry. That's sad, isn't it? But that's what we do sometimes in family. What? Not because we should. That's when we're not acting like Christ, right? And so what did I have to do? No, I didn't do that. Yes. Yes, that's the one. I said, I'm sorry. I apologized. And, you know, it goes every way. We all have to do that. Sometimes as parents, we have to do that with our children. I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry, daughter. What I said wasn't right or wasn't kind. And that goes a long way towards the behavior of who? Jesus Christ. Christ-like behavior. Amen. Amen. So I get excited about this verse because God is telling us to go further with people, to fellowship and go deeper in our conversations. And so let me reread the first part of verse 9 one more time, but I'm going to place in the definition here of dissimulation just to make it clear. It says, let love be without concealment of one's thoughts, feelings, and character. Interesting, huh? Who is this that we're talking about? It's talking about the church, right? Didn't we just say that? This passage is talking about the church, brothers and sisters. Maybe you consider some of the church members mothers and fathers to you. But it's saying, yes, we're a family. Go deeper. God's inviting us as a church to be a safe place for people to be transparent. Hey, I'm struggling. I'm having a real tough time with blank or whatever. But you say, what happens when sin comes out? Because after all, Jeremiah 17:9, we all know that one, right? It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately. See, you guys did know that. Halloween must have, you know, influenced you guys. No, just kidding. So, and then it says, who can know the heart, right? And then, of course, the answer comes in that next verse. The Lord knows the heart, amen? And he's also the one that changes the heart. Hallelujah. But the answer is, yeah, if they share something that's bad, God gives us the answer here in the next part of this verse. Let love without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. So what are we to do? We're to hate the sin, right? You've heard this, but love the sinner, right? Rather, the behavior here, we're to hate if it's wrong, but we're to love the person. Amen. So while we might be tempted to recoil or distance ourselves from someone who is obviously not doing the right thing, remember what Galatians 6 says. Well, let's turn there. We've got a moment, don't we? Hold your finger or something. Put a marker here. We're going to come back to Romans 12. But go to Galatians for a second. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Are you there? Okay, it says, bear ye one another's burdens. And so what does it say that'll happen if we do that? You're going to fulfill the law of Christ. Yes, Christ-like behavior to bear others' burdens. Narrowing our focus to our treatment of others in the church, the Bible says in verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. This reminds me of something else in Galatians 5:22. It says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is none other than the character of Christ, right? So this is how we're to treat each other, with the fruit of the Spirit. Moses was the meekest man on earth. How did he treat everybody? He thought of them as better than himself. When we take the name of Christ at baptism, I'm doing that baptism today, or those baptisms, Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, who fills us with the fruit of the Spirit, or Jesus's what? Character. Therefore, we become Christ-like in character, and consequently are called Christians, right? Now, let's read verse 16 in chapter 12. I'm going to skip down to 16. There's all kinds of good points in this chapter, by the way. You can go back and read it later. 16 says, be of the same mind one toward another. That sounds just like our scripture reading almost. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, but not wise in your own conceits. Be not wise in your own conceits. So our final point here, what does this mean? Again, we see this is an attitude. Notice this doesn't say that we must agree on everything or see everything from the same perspective, but rather it says, be of the same mind one toward another. Now, what do I mean? Philippians 2:2 would clarify the attitude here. Philippians 2:2 says, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So what is it saying about the attitude? It says, fulfill my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. So what is the mind of Christ? It's a mind of love. He sees you with all the love he has for you and all the desire for you to be united with himself. The attitude here and in 1 Corinthians, our text, chapter 1, verse 10, is the attitude of love toward each other. And of course, we know 1 Corinthians 13, that love is patient, love is kind, right? Again, it goes back to the fruits of the Spirit in a sense. And remember John 13, 35 says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you what? If you have love for one another. In conclusion, the Bible includes many stories, lists, and principles to help us know Jesus's character. And it's our privilege to surrender our lives to him and receive his character. Do you want his character today? The more time we spend with Jesus, the more our behavioral will change to be like his, to be more Christ-like. You remember Joseph at the beginning, I mentioned, was one of my favorites. Turn with me to Genesis for a moment. We're wrapping this up. I got three more texts here for you. Genesis 45. And we're looking at verse 5. Amen? I know, I didn't give you enough time. Genesis 45, verse 5, it says, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." That sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Joseph had a behavior, a character like Jesus. Now turn to chapter 50 for a moment. Genesis 50 and verse 20. Genesis 50, verse 20. Joseph's father passed away. All the brothers were sad, but they were worried. How will Joseph behave toward us now the father is gone? Genesis 50, verse 19. "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for I am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear not, I will what? Nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Did Joseph have a character like Christ? How would we have a character like Christ? Well, if we did those things, if we forgave our brothers when they hurt us and meant evil toward us, can our brothers in the church mean evil to us sometimes? God forbid, that's right. But if they do, how are we to treat them? Like Christ. And Joseph was an example of that. Then we have the story, I mentioned Moses, right? He turned to Hebrews with me. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Hebrews 11, 24, the faith chapter, right? What does it say about Moses? I love what it says here in Hebrews 11, 24 about Moses. I thought I was there. I was actually in the wrong book. Okay, here we go. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Amen. Moses. Yeah, he faced some trials. He could have had everything and anything he wanted as the prince of Egypt, but he refused it because he esteemed the riches of Christ and knowing him to be more valuable. Amen. And then there's the story of Daniel. Turn with me to the book of Daniel for a moment. Chapter 1, Daniel chapter 1. We remember his parents were killed and he was taken a captive to another nation. Boy, that doesn't sound good at all. But Daniel chapter 1 tells us of his Christ-likeness. Let's look at it. Daniel chapter 1, we're looking at verse 8 if you're there. I can't seem to find it. Let's see here. Dan, there it is. Okay. Daniel 1, verse 8, and it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." So what was the deal with Daniel? Behavior. It affected how he lived his life and what he chose to do, right? Because he had surrendered. Each of these examples, they had surrendered their life to God. And as we close today, if it's your desire to surrender your life to God, to Jesus, to receive him and to be more Christ-like and to receive eternal life, I would invite you to stand with me right now. And I'm going to call for a special response here. during our prayer, but while you're standing, let's sing today our closing hymn, number 330, Take. Let's pray again. Thank you, Jesus, for those who made commitments today to surrender their lives to you. Now, if today was one of your first times surrendering your life to Jesus, I ask you to tell someone after church today, preferably one of the elders or me or one of the leaders, and we can help you with next steps to following Jesus. And to everyone, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.